The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Chairs No Waiting, episode number 431, Ron Howard and Opie Taylor. Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you by the folks over at weaversdepartmentstore.com. Check out some of the great new things they've got over at Weavers. They've got a brand new 1967 Andy Griffith squad car. It's like a Hot Wheels car, but definitely something you'd want to check out. Go and check that out over there to go along with your Johnny Lightning car. If you don't like that, or if maybe you want to put your squad car in it, they have Barney Face accessory pouches. You can put your phone, your charging stuff in it, whatever you want to put in there. Head over to weaversdepartmentstore.com and check it out. Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you by each week by folks like you, listeners just like you. The executive producer of episode number 431 is Jonna Button. So thank you, Jonna. She's one of our patrons over at Patreon. Patreon, yay! Hey, if you're a first-time listener, ignore this part, but thanks for being here. It's great to have you. And there's a lot of folks that support the show by just coming, and we are so glad to have you. And we also have folks that support the show over at Patreon. They can donate. You can donate for $1 an episode, $100 an episode, whatever you'd like to do. But I just want to thank them for their support. So thank you very much. Folks, I'm Alan Newsome, if you don't know, your host for Two Chairs No Waiting. And it's always a great pleasure to have you here in Mayberry with me. This week, we're going to be talking about Ron Howard and Opie Taylor. Now, you might know, I don't want to give anything away, but that's the same person. You know, Ron Howard played Opie Taylor. Now, yeah, it's kind of a play. I know you, I probably caught you off guard on this, but Ron Howard and Opie Taylor, this is inspired by this week in Mayberry history report by Randy Turner. So we're going to start the podcast off with Randy giving his great report that he gives us every week. I want to thank him so much for this. Now, before we start, I'm going to tell you now that if you enjoy these reports, you can go over to turnersgrade@gmail.com and sign up and get an email that he will tell you about every day when he posts a Today in Mayberry History report. So definitely want to encourage you to do that. But let's go and hear from Randy.
Welcome to This Week in Mayberry History, a report by special correspondent Randy Turner of the Gomer and Cooper Pyle Comic Book Literary Guild of the Mayberry Historical Society.
Ron Howard may have started acting at a young age and still acts upon occasion, but the majority of his career has now been spent as a director. The story of how he eventually was able to direct his first film, Grand Theft Auto, which premiered 40 years ago this week, is an interesting one. While playing Opie, Ronnie Howard was given a gift on his 9th birthday from Andy Griffith and Aaron Rubin, an 8mm movie camera, complete with tripod, lights, and film. This generous gift was likely given in recognition of young Ronnie's assertion that he wanted to be a director someday. His fellow adult cast members were slightly perplexed, as they felt he would clearly have a long career as an actor based on his already impressive acting ability at such a young age. But Ronnie was fascinated with how the production of the show occurred. He liked talking with the crew, learning how a boom mic worked, and looking through the camera. He also knew that Bob Sweeney, who directed 80 episodes in a row, and Lee Phillips, who directed 60 episodes in a row, both came from acting backgrounds, just as he did. Ronnie soon directed his first film, The Chase. The movie starred his father, character actor Rance Howard, as a hobo who climbed onto a roof and stole a pie. 4-year-old little brother Clint played the law and order representative who caught the thief in the act. While Rance tried to get away, pedaling a child-sized bike, Clint gave chase on his tricycle. Ron continued to direct his home movies. After seeing a Sam Peckinpah film, Ron had Clint portraying a card player in a crooked poker game with a gore-filled shootout as the result. Ron used hidden tubes and bicycle pumps to create spurting blood for the camera. Years later, after 2 years of starring in Happy Days, Ron and his father, Rance, had written a comedy screenplay titled 'Tis the Season and had raised half the budget from Australian investors. They approached the legendary independent producer of low-budget films, Roger Corman, to buy in and produce their film. Corman passed on 'Tis the Season, but used Ron's expressed desire to direct to his own advantage. He proposed a deal for Ron to first star in a film titled Eat My Dust. In exchange, Corman agreed to allow Ron to develop and direct his own film. To give an idea of the production quality of Corman's New World Cinema, Eat My Dust was entirely filmed in only 4 weeks, and all of Ron's scenes were filmed over only 10 days. But Ron starring in the 1976 movie led to his directorial debut the following year in Grand Theft Auto, a film written by Ron and Rance. Ron not only directed, but starred in the movie, which was shot for $602,000 and earned over $15 million at the box office. Rance also appeared in the movie, as did Ron's Happy Days mother, Marion Ross, and Happy Days creator, Gary Marshall. And of course, just as he had in all of Ron's first efforts at making movies all those years ago with his 8mm camera, Ron's little brother Clint also played a character in the film. That's it for this week. As always, thanks for listening, and remember to take Andy's advice and go out there and act like somebody.
So, as a reminder, if you enjoyed that, you can get the day in Mayberry history by sending an email to Turner's Grade, T-U-R-N-E-R-S, grade, you can spell grade, I think, at gmail.com, and you can get those for yourself. So, thank you, Randy. Thank you so much for that report. So, that spurred me to try to look up a little bit more information about our friend, Ron Howard. There is a book that was published, I'm not even sure when, I didn't look, but it was from Dan Harrison and Bill Habib that, let's see if it tells here, 1994 is when this was published. It's no longer available. It's called Inside Mayberry. He has a great little section here about Ron Howard. So I wanted to provide you a little bit of information here. This is about Opie Taylor, but it's really Ron Howard, of course. It says, Aaron Rubin, who shares a birthday with Ron Howard, commented on his feelings toward the then child actor. Quote, this is Aaron talking. He said, he was one of the most professional actors I've ever worked with. You know who deserved all the credit for that? Ronnie's parents. They were so unlike any stage parents. He also had the benefit of having his father on the set as well as Andy, who became somewhat of a surrogate father for Ronnie. They became very close. Andy would talk to him. If there was something Ronnie was doing and Andy thought Ronnie could be better or differently, Andy would lean over and tell him quietly. They developed a wonderful relationship. There truly was a genuine affection and warmth between the two of them. Other members of the Andy Griffith Show cast and crew and creative team have made it clear that parental influence kept Ron Howard grounded and made him such a pleasure on the set. The credit, Don Knotts said, went largely to his father, Rance. Don said, "Ron Howard is so easy to work with, and his dad was such a good person. He wasn't like all that other child actors I've worked with, and that was probably because, you know, he had such great parents." That's what Don said. Without Ron Howard in the role of Mayberry's favorite son, Opie Taylor, The Andy Griffith Show would have been like a cake without icing. Sheldon Leonard, who cast Howard in the role, told of the way in which he discovered Ron Howard, which was easier than convincing his father to let him star in the series, by the way, discovering him was. Sheldon Leonard said, "I'd seen Ronnie Howard doing a pilot with Burt Lahr. The pilot failed, but the kid was so obviously charismatic that I filed it away in my mind. And when the time came to cast the pilot, I had my casting director look him up. He was only 5 years old. He came in with his father, Rance, and while I was convinced that I wanted him, Rance wasn't convinced that he wanted us. He wasn't sure that he wanted his 5-year-old boy to get committed to show business. This was different than a one-shot thing. It was a commitment of several years. I said, 'Look, if you're worried about him losing his childhood, don't. I have kids on my other shows. I have kids on the Danny Thomas show. I've always worked with kids. We'll create an environment where he can be a kid. His friends can come and visit him. He can bring his skates to the set and ride his bike whenever he wants.'" Reluctantly, Rance said he could do it. And what if he had said no? Even at this tender age, Ron Howard was present at all the script meetings, the read-arounds. Did he ever complain that a 6-year-old wouldn't say this or that? Aaron Rubin emphatically answered no, he never did. The Andy Griffith Show was often a Howard family affair. Ron's family spent a great deal of time on the set, which enabled his father, Rance, and his brother, Clint, to get a few moments in the limelight as well. Clint, who appeared as Leon on The Andy Griffith Show, appeared in The Jinx, The Bank Job, One Punch Opie, A Black Day for Mayberry, and The Shoplifters. And Rance did a few bit roles as well. He appeared on a cousin Virgil as the bus driver. He was on Barney and the Governor as the chauffeur who got the ticket from Barney, if you'll remember. And A Black Day for Mayberry, he was one of the T-men. His line was, "We'll wait." And the rumor, he was a guest at a surprise party thrown for Helen and Andy. Yeah, it was great. They got to do so many different things on there. It was always amazing, the Howards. In episode 93, Dogs, 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 Barney tries to explain to Opie why stray dogs he released into the open field will be all right. Reviewing a tape of that segment, Everett Greenbaum, the co-author of the episode, was amazed at the polished performance of the then 8-year-old actor. Everett said, "To tell a kid to look at Barney so you don't quite believe him and have him do that perfectly, well, no other kid in the world could do that. Ron Howard was quite marvelous." That is so true. Opie was never without some form of friend, animal friend of some kind. Do y'all remember what they were? He had pets and animals he talked about. He had Dickie the parakeet, Gulliver the dog that we never actually saw, Blackie the imaginary horse, and he had a pet frog. But fans often cite episode 101, Opie the Birdman, as one of their favorites. Harvey Bullock said this, "That's one I would recall with great warmth. That was a wonderful story because it had within it all the right ingredients that very touching final moment. You have Opie, who doesn't want to let the birds go, but his father tells him, 'You've got to, son. You got to let go. Opie the Birdman has since been scrutinized as a story that uses birds to symbolize Opie himself. Harvey said, I found people read a lot into these stories, but I wasn't thinking about a boy without his mom when I wrote it. It was never meant to be a reflection of that. In the final scene of Opie the Birdman, Andy utters one of the most memorable lines of the entire series. Harvey Bullock says, I remember it occurring to me. You know, sometimes you're never quite sure how a script is working, and other times the plot starts turning and the characters start talking, and it gets a little spooky. I remember coming to the end of that scene. I was right at the end, a couple of lines from finishing, and it just came out. Opie says, the cage is awfully empty, Pa. Andy says, but aren't the trees nice and full? I thought, hey, that's what I'm trying to say, said Harvey Bullock. What Bullock was trying to say through Opie and Andy may also have captured the feelings of others associated with the Andy Griffith Show. Anita Corso said, I think that story is a perfect example of what we were trying to do. Harvey was able to say it so simply and beautifully. We have to take care of each other and every living thing, and at the same time, we have to give them the freedom to live their own lives. He said it all. And Bullock said it using the youngest character on the show, a tribute to both the writer and Ron Howard. It was not just a sentiment that made Opie the Birdman memorable. Bullock, who was a master of the misty moment, was just as good at making the audience laugh. In the script for Opie the Birdman, Bullock broke the tension with a scene in which Barney lectures Opie on the language of birds. He goes, here comes a cat. That's an example of something we called, treacle cutter. It's a treacle cutter, is what Harvey said. It relieves the drama so that it doesn't seem like violin music, but it relieves the drama. It worked so well with Barney because, well, he was the world's authority on everything. Oh, after the Andy Griffith Show ended, Ron Howard appeared as a teenage star of other hit series like, you know, Happy Days, and has performed in many films, and eventually preferring the role behind the camera. Howard has become one of the most commercially successful directors in Hollywood. Directing feature films has afforded Howard the opportunity to renew some of his old friendships from the Andy Griffith Show. Actor-director Howard Morris, that's Ernest T, by the way, recalled one such experience. He said, Ron and I would meet occasionally. He was a big fan of Ernest T. He loved the character, and he still does. I was called to Disney to meet with them about a small part in a movie called Splash. We met, we embraced, as we do. We read the scene a few times, and he said, hey, thanks very much, Howie. Thanks for coming. And I said, okay, and left. And I was just getting into my car in the parking lot, and I hear someone running like mad across the parking lot yelling, Howie! It was Ron. He said, hey, I didn't want you to leave without knowing that I want you for the part. He took the trouble to leave the office, go outside, run all the way across the parking lot to talk to me personally. Pretty neat kid. And he got that from his father and his mother, who were good, God-fearing people who treated you decently. So, folks, that's just a little bit more about our friend Opie, Ron Howard. Luckily, Mr. Howard, should he ever hear this, doesn't mind being called Opie, at least according to him. I wouldn't call him Opie. If I see him, I'll call him Mr. Howard. And but wow, what a great family. What a great story. I want to thank Randy for getting us going on this with his Mayberry History Report this week. And I hope you enjoyed the rest of the story, so to speak. Folks, I would love to hear from you. If you give me a call at 888-684-8415, you can leave a message for me and tell me what you thought about this. You got any memories of Ron Howard or Opie that you'd like to share with us? Dopey Opie. I always think of that when I say Opie. So you can give me a call, as I said, 888-684-8415. Email me at floyd@imaberry.com or drop by twochairsnowaiting.com and leave me messages there. Again, I want to thank our patrons. If you'd like to support this show, and if you'd listened to it this far, maybe you would, head over to patreon.com. If you go to twochairsnowaiting.com, there's a link right there. You can make a donation per episode and help keep this show going. Folks, until next time, we'll see you here on Two Chairs.